we've gotten into the subject a little bit. We've got more for tonight. And it seemed tonight, as I was preparing, that most of it was going in a specific direction. So I believe that direction is going to benefit us. And that direction seems to be, yes, it is on your words, but it's on using your words, and most of my applications are for finances, for prosperity. So it just, I kept, that's where the anointing seemed to be, that's where I seem to be led by the Lord. So we're going to go in that direction. There are a lot of scriptures on words. I'm going to go ahead and read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. It says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. We're talking about words, the words that we speak out of our mouth tonight, and the type of words that we should be speaking out of our mouth, the type of words that are pleasing to God. We have it as our goal, or as our ambition, to be pleasing to the Lord. Now, I'm going to cover this a little bit. I would rather have you get this in your spirit than get it on paper. So I want you to draw on this, and I want you to get what you need out of it. And I'd rather have you listening than just taking notes. Sometimes it is good to take notes in outline form if you think you're going to be teaching from it in the future, if it's something that you want to review, that's good, and go ahead. But I know when I went through them in the beginning, I started taking notes, and I realized a lot of times I was so busy trying to write things down that I was missing what the teacher was saying, and then I would catch up later. So I got to the point where I decided it's more important that I get it into my spirit than the grade I get. Do you see what I'm saying in that? I wanted it in my heart more than straight A's. Even though straight A's would be nice too. I just want you to kind of hear that, hear where my heart is in that for you, so you can, while I'm teaching, even be talking to the Lord. God, how do you want me to apply this? What area? What are you saying to me? Holy Spirit, speak to me. There's oftentimes when I'm sitting there, and I'll give you an illustration about this later, but I'm reading my Bible, and the Holy Ghost bucks me. He bucks in. Doesn't know who I'm here from. Him. I can be teaching, and oh, he has more than my permission to butt in and talk to you direct. There are oftentimes where I'm sitting there in a sermon or in a class or whatever, and the minister is ministering, but God's talking to me at the same time. And I'm listening to what he has to say. He's taking that message, and he's helping it to apply to me direct. So just go ahead and believe him to do that so that you get what you need. All right, so we have it as our goal, or as our ambition, to be pleasing to the Lord. That's our goal. That's our ambition, to be pleasing to him. And we know that one of the things that are pleasing to him is when we obey him. And when we obey his word, we're obeying him. And when we're doing that, it means we're in line with his word. We're speaking his word. So, we can see from this passage of scripture in Ephesians that we're to speak words that edify, words that bless those that hear us. We're to speak words that minister grace. We're to pay attention to the words that we speak. And I want it to be a goal of ours through this course to fine-tune our speech, fine-tune both the words that we allow out of our mouth and fine-tune the words that we intentionally speak. I want us to take out negative, unbelieving words and replace them with words that are full of love, life, faith, words that are scripturally accurate. That's what I want us to do. Now, I'm going to go ahead and read this Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 to you in the Amplified. And the reason why I'm going to take time to read it in the Amplified also is because it just seems to shine more light on this subject, and it gives us even greater understanding. In the Amplified, it says, and some of you may have an Amplified, you can follow along, let no foul or polluting language, nor evil word, nor unwholesome or worthless talk ever come out of your mouth, but only such speech as is good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others, as is fitting to the need and the occasion, that it may be a blessing and give grace, God's favor, to those who hear. Isn't that good? It does stretch out the meaning for us a little bit more, and it helped us to go a little bit deeper with that. And we're going to dissect this scripture a little bit more. But we see two main categories in this. We see, first, words that we are not to say, and second, words that we are told to say. And it says no foul or polluting language. And we all know that. That means no swearing. We know that one of the Ten Commandments is not to use the Lord's name in vain. We know that. And that's usually one of the first things that go out of the life of a born-again person, is swearing or using the Lord's name in vain, if they even ever get that at all. But notice it says no foul or polluting language ever. Well, that may be a goal, because still sometimes I've heard Christians short in this, and I've heard a swear word come out of somebody that knows better. But this is a goal that we can have. If he says ever, he means ever. He doesn't want foul language coming out of our mouths ever. Not even if somebody makes you mad, not even if you get frustrated, not even if somebody cuts you off in traffic. No foul words ever. And ever is a key word there. That means that if you're doing a construction project or a home improvement project and you happen to hit your thumb with a hammer, no foul word comes out of your mouth. Ever. It means that it should never be coming out of your mouth, no matter what the situation is. Now, let's look at this. It says no evil words. And you can put in that ever, because it was that no, these were the bad words that were never supposed to come out of our mouth. Not ever. And it says evil words. Yet it's listed separate from those other words. Why is it listed separate from the other words? Aren't the other words evil? Didn't the other words foul words? Didn't it cover it? When we look at the word evil, I want you to think back about the classes that we taught last week. And in there, we talked about the 10 spies that went off, or the 12 spies that went off to spy out the land. But 10 came back to give a report on what they had witnessed. And when those 10 came back, the Bible gives us an account of their testimony, and it says that they gave an evil report. And the evil report was an unbelieving report. It was a report of doubt, of unbelief. In other words, they did not believe what God had said. Because they didn't believe God, it was counted as an evil report. Evil words are any words that are in opposition to God. And it's a little broader category than most Christians think. Evil words are words of unbelief and doubt. Yes, that's how they just got there. Unbelief and doubt, that's an evil word. And those words are never supposed to come out of our mouth. Well, let's go ahead and look at this. How is that? It's because it's in opposition to the truth, and it's in opposition to life. God's words are life and truth, and the minister's life and truth. And evil words are words that line up with the devil. Unbelief, doubt, line up with what the devil says. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came to bring life and abundant life. And that life is given to us in His word. Now, let's look at this. I want you, because you can kind of go, okay, yes, I know. Up in my head, I know that you know what you're saying is words that are unbelieving or words that are doubt words. Okay, those are in the category of evil, because the Bible called the report that those 10 spies gave an evil report. They were evil words. They didn't believe. Evil words are words that are unbelieving. We may know that here, but we've got to get it in our spirit to the point that it moves us to guard our mouth. It moves us to guard what we say, so that we don't line up with words of unbelief and doubt, and we don't speak them out of our mouth. Because remember, what are the words that God watches over to perform? His words. When we speak His words, we're lining up in faith with what He has said, and He has something to perform for us. When we speak words that are in opposition to God, we side with the devil. You're either believing one or the other, even if you're a saved, born-again Christian. You're saying words coming out of your mouth that are either in line with God's Holy Scripture, or they're lined up in the category of death, unbelief, stealing, killing, destroying. You hear me on this? So let's take it in a prayer. What if I tell you this scripture, and you're all familiar with it, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Well, that's good, we all know that, right? But now let's look at that in Amplified. It says this, the Lord is my shepherd, to feed, guide, and shield me. I shall not want. So in other words, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But how many of us have gotten into situations where we've said we don't have enough? So this is a very good illustration for us to realize if somebody says, I don't have enough money, if somebody sits down to pay their bills and they think, and then they say out loud, I don't have enough, what they're doing is speaking out an evil word because it's not what Scripture says. What Scripture says is that I have no luck. You have no luck. And what happens is that people have a tendency to get used to walking in the front row. What I see, what I feel, what I hear, what I see in my bank account, the numbers I see written on the page. Well, gee, it is that because there's no more numbers written in your bank account. Well, you may see that with your eyes, but you don't need to give voice to it. Because as soon as you give voice to it, you give the devil something to work with. And then remember Mark 11:23? Whoever says to this matter, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. So what happens is you're going to repeat the cycle the next week you sit down and pray for it, for the next month. And you said you lost, you didn't have enough, and here comes that cycle again the next time you get a paybill. Here comes that cycle again. You see what happens in that? It's very tricky. So people can have their confession really good when they're around other believers, if they're on it, they know what they should be saying, and they're saying it in their confession. But as soon as you sit down and those eyes go off of Jesus onto balancing that checking account, suddenly something different happens. And then there's more aware of the sense realm than the spiritual realm. More aware of the sense realm than the Word of God. And what we want to do is train our mouths what to say. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth. That's the scripture we went over last week. The heart of the wise, it means a wise person, a wise spirit, teaches his mouth what to say. What we want to do is train what we've been saying in some areas so that we can start walking into a greater degree of the blessings that God has for us. Let me tell you what. Because when we say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, God is right with the word, performing. Anything consistently, right? God says to hold fast your confession, your profession of faith. Hold fast. Not don't waver. What's wavering? Going back and forth, like being tossed by waves. We don't want to go back and forth. 1 minute we got it, we're saying it right. Then the next minute we're looking at those numbers. Okay, do you see what I'm saying here? You may see the numbers, but don't give it voice anything negative. It is not pleasing to God when you say you lack, when he said in his word that he's your shepherd and you don't lack. It's not pleasing to him for you to lack or for you to say that you have lack. When we say the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. You can sit there and look at those numbers and say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. I walk by faith, not by sight. I fight the good fight of faith. And I'm holding fast to my confession. And he is faithful, that promises, he will bring it to pass. Just like he did for Abraham. He brought it to pass for Abraham and his promises. He'll bring it to pass for me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. God calls the kind of speaking when you say, I lack, I don't have enough, there isn't enough money. can't buy that. I don't have enough. I can't send you there. I can't take my family on a vacation. I can't plant a church in my mouth. I don't have enough money to give. I can't go to that retreat because it's too expensive. You know what all those words are? Evil. But we don't usually think of them as being evil. But they're evil because they don't fall with what the scripture says. See, we don't want to be like the world. We don't function like the world. We don't speak like the world. Our system is not like the world's system. We're children, and our system is different. Our speaking is different. Proverbs 21:23 says, "He shall keep his mouth and his tongue, keep his soul from trouble." What does "keep his mouth" mean? He will guard his mouth, guard his tongue. When you guard that tongue of yours, and whosoever, then who's person? If they don't guard their mouth, this verse says that they have trouble. Well, not having enough money is trouble. That's trouble. If you want to pay for your child's school and you don't have enough money, that's trouble. So we've got to go back and look at, well, what do we need to address? We need to address what we're saying. Proverbs 22:17-18 in the Amplified says this: "Listen, consent and submit to the words of the wise, and apply your mind to my knowledge. For it will be pleasant if you keep them in your mind, believing them, your lips will be accustomed to confessing them." So when you guard those words, you take those words, you guard those words, you're listening to words of wisdom, you're applying them, you're believing them, then your lips are going to be accustomed to speaking them. God performs his word. He watches over to perform it. And angels perform his word. They do not, either one of them, either one of those categories, perform unbelief. God does not perform doubt. God does not perform evil. So that means we want our words to say what God's word says, so that we can have the blessings that are promised to us in the scripture. So just for the fun of it, since you're reading the Bible, go ahead and turn back to Genesis. I want to show you something. It's just interesting. Genesis chapter 2. And in Genesis chapter 2, we spent some time in Genesis last week, but I want to show you something else with you pertaining to what we're talking about. In Genesis chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, this is written for our behalf. Let's just look at the first part of verse 6. "And the gold of that land is good." And it says it goes on expanding. Isn't this interesting? So God creates the world. He makes man. He makes him a speaking spirit, a living being, a living soul, verse 7. God plants man a garden. And then God mentions the rivers. And then in verse 11 and 12, God says there's gold, and the gold is good. He talks to man. He's talking about gold before he ever gives Adam his assignment or commissions him and says, "Don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." And God calls gold good. God put gold as provision in the garden. God gave Adam all the provision that he needed. Why did God give him gold? Why did God mention that there was gold in there? Provision. Before he talks to him about the tree of good and evil, about how important the tree is, not to eat from the tree of that it would give you the knowledge of good and evil, he mentions that there's gold there. Provision was obviously something that was important to God. These resources, Psalm 35:27-28, says, "Let those who favor my righteous cause and have pleasure in my uprightness shout for joy and be glad, and say continually, let the Lord be magnified, who takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And my tongue shall talk of your righteousness and justice, and of my reasons for your praise all the day long." What were the reasons for praising the Lord? For his delight in the prosperity of his servants. Yeah, I can praise God for that. I'm excited. I'm happy about that. But his delight in prospering us. Now, you are better than a servant. You are more than a servant. You're a son. You're a daughter of the living God. You're an heir, a joint heir with Jesus Christ. A joint heir. That means you partake of all the blessings and the promises. You're a joint heir with Jesus. Joint heir. doing hair with Jesus. Isn't that good? That's reason to get excited. That's reason to praise God. And I like that it says, I noticed this, because we are talking about words, say continually. And that's what we're exhorted to do, to say continually, the Lord be magnified, because pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. That's the amplified. Say continually. But see, continually, we're talking about confession here, and confession is not just a one-time thing or a two-time thing. You may have to say it over and over and over. That's why this verse says continually. Because God knew what Adam was going to do. He was going to sin. God knew it from the beginning, and God had a plan. And God's plan was to restore man. God knew that the devil was in this world, and that the devil would try to mess with resources and finances and try to hinder and prevent these blessings from coming to Christians. Because the devil is the little g god of this world. And you see that in the New Testament. And you see that in some of the classes you've already had when we talk about prayer and the reason why prayer is so important on this earth. God delegated authority. You know the first thing I've been studying and saying this. The first thing, God said, let us make man in our image and our likeness. And I kind of talked about it a bit when we were teasing it. And a lot of times people think that he said, be fruitful and multiply. He did say that to man, but the first thing he's talking about man, even before he gave man direction, he said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness and let them rule. So we go there, we're in Genesis anyway, aren't we? Okay, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule. This is New American Standard, I'm reading. Now, then it gives us some detail. It says we're going to rule over the fish, we're going to rule over the birds, and everything that sleeps on the earth. And he covered every area. He covered what flies, he covered what's in the ocean, he covered what walks. He covered everything. And he said, over every creeping thing that sleeps on the earth, for us to rule over. Now, he made a speaking spirit. We were made in his image. What is the primary way that anybody rules? By speaking. How does the king set a new rule in the kingdom? By speaking, this is what it is. This is our new rule. It's spoken. How do we rule? What is our authority? Our authority is primarily exercised through the words that we speak. This is the problem. When I lay hands on somebody and I pray for them, often I can feel how much God loves them. I can sense that love that God has for them. And I'm in awe of it. In the same way God goes through you to minister something like that, I feeling behind it. It's not just the words. And my sense was it was a flower with a This is not coming. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich. But he did not say the blessing of the Lord maketh man covetous. He did not say the blessing of the Lord maketh man greedy. But he did say the blessing of the Lord maketh rich. Not my word. I didn't translate that. Let them say continually, the Lord be magnified, who delighteth in the prosperity of his children. But it takes money, doesn't it? Is God on a blessing? Yes. God on a blessing? Yes. You know, it's just God where he's landed because he's not. He's really sick of that. If you go to me, it takes a little idea to try to find somebody to take care of them and change it. So I did it. And then I just had this sense in my spirit. And the Lord, the only thing between your son, her, and that God is you. And it means I was blessed. I couldn't. I know it's not about that. Where the Lord stuck me, right? God wanted to give him the desire of his heart, give him what he had prayed for. These things are important to kids. I mean, we can all identify with that, whether it's a one little dog or a little new pair of tennis shoes, because they think they can jump higher for basketball in them or whatever. But they're important to them. Don't you know that God knows? Don't you know that God knows that it costs you? God wants you to know that he wants to bless you. God wants you to get this gift. Say what he says. He delights in prospering you. I'm blessed of the Lord and I am yours. Now get this. I don't want you to say this. I'm blessed of the Lord and I will be rich. Why do I not want you to say that? Because that's hope. That's future tense. And you're not bringing it in tonight. It's safe with now. You got to get it now. You got to bring it in tonight. Even if you don't see it, doesn't certainly know you don't need to feel it. You don't need to feel anything, but you say it now. I am blessed with the Lord and I am rich. God, I say continually, the Lord be magnified, because he delights in prospering me. He is prospering me now. And I was thinking about this today, and it kind of brought up while I was preparing these notes. And this is what I was thinking. I saw a couple of new confessions. We're already going to do well on this question this morning. But what have you said to God that God is pursuing you? So be grateful. Be grateful for God. Clean your hands. Clean your voices. Clean your language. Clean your purposes. Clean your purposes. Don't forget to be essential. All you have to do is say it, and God will go to work for you. All you have to do is say it and read it. Your own words go to work for you. And say that to him. I mean, that's just what I do. Don't even get caught up in it. Just forget that. Then you go, you know what? Shut up. That's the devil. Because God has already said, you have a measure of faith, and the measure is enough. That's why Jesus said that scripture in Mark 11, 23. He was talking to the disciples, and they talked about him having cursed the fig tree. All he did was say something to it. Then they say, well, Lord, we need more faith. And he says, he says to them about Mark 11, 23. For it says to his mind, they asked for more faith. You know what his response was when they asked for more faith? It was basically this. Speak. He didn't tell them he needed more. He said, speak. Speak to your bank account. Speak. And you say something in English. Then on Sunday, and then his family was here, he prayed over God now. And we had guest minister with him. And he ministered to us. And he's talking about kind of along these lines of God wanting to bless us financially. And he said something to us, and it was something like, you don't get it, it was like big, big dishes in the valley. Big dishes in the valley. What's it like? Except that, like I said to you, sometimes somebody can be speaking and God will talk to me at the same time. The Lord said to me on the inside, not in my business, but in my spirit, open bank accounts. There's an addiction. So when the rain comes, I'm supposed to put it. Open bank accounts. I know what I'm supposed to do because I want to go on mission trips. I don't need a place to put the money because right now it's saying, what's the money exchange? How much money do you want to, how much cash do you want to put there, right? So I don't want it to go into my general fund of bill paying, of day-to-day needs, maybe. I'm going to open different bank accounts. And I told God, I know what that means to me. Okay, so this is what I'm going to do. There's somebody that has 5 or 6 kids and they live in a mobile home. And it's terrible. And I want to buy them a new mobile home. I mean, any mobile home is not that much money. It's not like a car phone. So, you know, it's going to pay for that. And I'm going to be depositing it. But so that's my story, taking action so that when God brings it, I have a place to put it and I'm prepared. Okay, now I'm not saying that's what you're supposed to do, but I'm saying that sometimes you're asking for it to pay. But I've been speaking out in these areas already. I've been speaking. I know there's we were just told the amount we need to go to Turkey. We've been invited to go to Turkey and the Minnesota Pastors Conference for it. They want us not just to pay for all airplane tickets, but they're going to take pastors from our land, and they're going to pay for those pastors to be transported to Turkey, where it's safer to preach the gospel. They're going to put them up in hotels, and they're going to minister to them. So they're bringing them, instead of people going into place where the meeting will be shut down, or whatever it is, it does. And I'm saying, so they're going to transport them to another location. So we were told it's going to take thousands of dollars to this, and we want you guys to hook up and to pay for some of these guys to come. That takes money. Unlike you, I'm a person, I've got bills. But I've got dreams, too. I've got stuff, and I'm looking. So I'm going to go ahead, and now I've got $7,500 to pay for this, to pay for these Iranian pastors to get to Turkey, to put them up, so that they can be ministered to. And the comment said, we will minister all day long to get yourself ready. He said, we will go tag team back to back. And they're so hungry, because there's just not much preaching there, that they don't let up. They don't want to go to sleep. They don't want to break for lunch or for dinner. They don't want to go back to a hotel room. They want you to tell them about God. He says, to get ready. That's what it'll be like. It's without end. And I'm like, wow. Okay. The hungry for teaching. The hungry for the word. I want to get the word now. I'm going to open these accounts. And I'm going to be confessing and saying, I have this money. This is showing me on it now. All of this stuff. Now I want you to do something. And then we'll close. I want you to take a jump and not just believe money for yourself. I want you to send to somebody that you know has a need. And I want you to ask God for the money or the item that they need. And I want you to pay it to you, and I want you to give it to them. Especially if it's for finances. Think of somebody who needs something. I want you to believe God for something to give. See, it's one thing to use our mouth, and you may do this, you may just stand up and declare it. If it's a need, you know it's good and godly, you declare it, you speak it. In the name of Jesus Christ, I can give up $25 to come to you because I know that person wants to buy a new pair of cakes. So in the name of Jesus, I can give up $25 to come to you, and you will give it to me. It's good for you to get out of the area of just believing for yourself. It's very good for you. Use your faith, use your word to be given to others. And as God sees that channel open and flow, oh, you'll just be amazed at how much is going to come to you and flow through you. Come to you and flow through you. Come to you and flow through you. So when God gives you money, you don't do what you want with it. You say, Father, where do you want it to go? Where do you want it to go? I used to believe God for $10,000. And then God is like, Jesus, we've been at $10,000 for a long time. We need the effort. So then we could at least double it to 20. Is that okay? Now, mind you, we did amount too, okay? I've given a check for $15,000 when we sold a house sometimes for two. We gave somebody $5,000. You got to be a giver to be a receiver. And it helps your faith. It helps your faith to be a giver. When you're a giver, and so he said, we got to get a chance. So he said, that's $20,000. Thank you, God. Because we already had two $20,000 checks come in almost back to back. Not for the kids, for us. And we needed it, so it was a good thing to bring him back in. And I was kind of, Dad, we need to get back on that. That we need to be confessing more. Confessing more. I say that to stretch you. I say that to get you excited. And there are people that are believing God for millions of dollars and you have stuff for millions come in. Well, okay. First of all, I am confessing that God has given stuff for $3 million checks to this church. I've been confessing it for a couple years now. and so I keep confessing that. I have not seen the manifestation of it yet, but I will. And the bigger the amount, sometimes the longer it takes, but I still say that. I keep saying it. So, hope. Go after little things, but go after big things too. You gotta have hope and excitement. Speak it up. If you're rich, you're rich. And this is not 10 cents, and oh, good night, look at the gas gauge, and I gotta go fill up again, how much cash is in my wallet or purse? Trust, to believe God, and start speaking out that you've got something that's coming to you to bless somebody with. You think of what it is, and go after it. And then confess. God has blessed me, and he's made me rich. I say continually, oh, God, you be magnified. Who delight in prospering me. Thank you that you delight in prospering me. I thank you that right now while I'm working on my job, you're prospering me. I thank you that as I lay down to go to bed, you're prospering me. I thank you that while I read my word, you're prospering me. I thank you, Father God, while I'm doing the dishes, you're prospering me. I thank you, God, you delight in prospering me. You see what I'm saying? Hey, and that you're prospering you while you're doing something else.